John Newton's early life was one of sorrow, rebellion, and sinful degradation. As a young adult, he became the captain of a slave ship and was so wretched that his crew had no respect or regard for him whatsoever. Once when he fell overboard, they threw a harpoon at him instead of a lifeboat. They did, however, have enough heart to drag him in with the harpoon. In May of 1748, his ship encountered such a violent storm that it almost sank as crewmen tied themselves to the ship to keep from being swept overboard. For 4 weeks, the sailors were in deep despair, and finally, after near starvation, they reached Ireland's shores. John was getting close to repentance, but not quite there. Later, on a small island off the coast of Africa, Newton contracted a deadly disease. Burning with fever, listless and miserable, he wrote, "Weak and almost delirious, I arose from my bed and crept to a secluded part of the island. There I found renewed liberty to pray. I made no resolves, but cast myself before the Lord to do with me as he should please. I was enabled to hope and believe in a crucified Savior. The burden was removed from my conscience. From that hour, John was born again." 2 years later, John married his teenage sweetheart and then studied for the ministry for the next 14 years before becoming pastor in Olney, England at age 39. In 1779, he published a hymnal containing 281 of his own hymns, including Amazing Grace. At age 82, shortly before his death, he still marveled at God's amazing grace that transformed his life completely. He said, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." He also wrote his epitaph before his death, and it read, "John Newton, clerk, once an infidel, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy."
Thank you. Good. Now, that is the beginner, the intermediate, and the advanced violin classes, and some adults that have gone on to other things besides that. It is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. If you were in the service last Sunday morning, Brother King went through this entire book, and he kind of just touched on the last two verses. He said, and John ends it by writing. And boy, the Lord, you know, Scripture's just, it just never ends. And it just jumped off the page at me. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. So I want to speak tonight on friends. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. It's just an unending well of life and wisdom and truth. And so I pray that you'll help us tonight. Fill us, both speaker and listener, with your spirit. Thank you for the beautiful rendition of Amazing Grace by all these folks. Thank you for all the laborers that work with the classes, Rick and all those that help him. Thank you, God, for their efforts. And I pray, oh God, that you received honor and glory from that beautiful, beautiful hymn singing about your grace. Now bless this time in your word, I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Brother King went verse by verse. He gave us a great challenge concerning taking care of missionaries and helping to make sure they are brought on their way successfully. That's what Brother Delaney and his wife are doing right now. They're going on deputation from church to church, and each church that they visit should help bring them on their way to the next church, and that church helps bring them on the way to the next church until they raise enough support to go to South Korea. I don't know if you know Brother Brown, I can't remember his first name right now. Andrew Brown, yes, and his wife we support over there, and also Brother, the lady that was Sonny Yoon and her Pak Labar is also in South Korea. We support them. So that's what he's talking about here. The man who received the kudos from the Apostle John in this letter was Gaius. You see that in verse number 1, the elder, that's John, unto the well-beloved Gaius. Gaius was a popular name in first century. And so it's actually found in other places in the New Testament. Don't know if that's the same person or not. But anyway, Gaius, look at verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may... Now, I preached on this during COVID. That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And that was a message I preached when there was so much sickness going around. It seems what John was saying was, I hope you're doing as well physically as you are spiritually. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? I hope you're doing as well physically as you're doing, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Then in verse number 4, John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. From what John writes there, it's pretty safe to know or say that John was Gaius's spiritual father. He was Gaius's mentor. And John, as Gaius's spiritual father, if you let me say it that way, was mighty pleased to know that Gaius walked in truth. Now, all the young people in the room tonight need to listen very carefully, okay? Outside of making God very pleased when you walk in truth, you make a lot of people pleased as well. You make parents pleased. You make grandparents pleased. You make school teachers and youth leaders and pastors and Sunday school teachers and other people who have invested in you spiritually, you make them all glad in their heart by your obedience to God. Because John is not God, he's a human being, but he is well pleased with Gaius's choices to walk in truth. Thursday after school, Joyce and I drove down to Linton, Indiana, where Brother Castle and his wife Jenny are there in the church. And Jesse just had an accident. We talked about that, but it was their revival. And I met, and Brother Darrell Cox came from North Carolina. And Brother Cox and I closed out the meeting on Thursday and Friday night. We saw Megan and Caden and, of course, Cameron down. Megan grew up here. And we saw them, and we were saying our goodbyes Friday night to drive home. And I said to Mrs. Castle, Mrs. Castle was at one time Jenny Biggs. She grew up in Minneapolis, Iowa, and I used to preach to the Biggs kids when they were just young teenage ladies and children in elementary. And my heart was just, we had a sweet, sweet service Friday night, just a sweet service Friday night, and God moved, and there were a lot of tears at the altar, and it was just a sweet service. And when we got, and I was saying goodbye to Jenny, and my heart just overwhelmed with just gladness. And I just took her by the hand. I said, Jenny, you make my heart glad. Because I've known them for, goodness gracious, I don't know how many years now. And here's this lady walking in truth. Now, folks, if she makes my heart glad, how many others who along the way invested so much more in her than me? Young people, you will never regret, first of all, pleasing the Lord. But you'll also never regret making those who spiritually invested in you glad. And the way you do that is to walk in truth. That's what John said. You're walking in truth. You're living in truth. Living a truth-based life. And how it made John rejoice. Now, we get a glimpse of one of the reasons that Gaius was able to walk in truth and make John rejoice. We get it in verse number 14. And one of the reasons Gaius made John's heart rejoice was because of Gaius's choice of friends. His choice of friends. Well, I want to tell you something. Friends can influence your, they influence your choices and your decisions about how you live. Now, the most well-known passage about friends when it comes to sad stories in the Bible is 2 Samuel 13. I'm not going to belabor that passage tonight, but Amnon was the king's son, David's son, and he wrongly longed for his sister. That was a horrible thing. And at least Amnon had enough decency to finally realize this is not right. And the Bible says he thought it hard to do what he considered in his mind to his sister. What does that mean? He reached a conclusion, I can't do this. Tragedy avoided. Not so fast. Amnon had a friend. And in this case, his friend was his cousin. And Jonadab was a wicked and prideful, and he gave Amnon evil counsel, wicked counsel, and young people, and all of us. Evil counsel leads to evil choices. And tragedy that had been avoided occurred. It's horrible. Cost Amnon his life. Absalom slew him in hatred because of what he had done to their sister, what Amnon had done to their sister. Brother Brown, I'll be out there with Brother Brown next week. Larry Brown will be there. Joe's the pastor now, but Brother Brown is going to be there, of course. Started the church there in Iowa, and my wife's folks were there. And Brother Brown said in his famous message, if he's known for any one message, Ben, Amnon had a friend. Amnon had a friend. And in that message, he repeats him over and over again. You are right now, or you soon shall be what your friends are. That's the honest truth. There's great truth to that, not because Brother Brown says it, but because of the question that Amos asked in chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, that's a rhetorical question, has an obvious answer. You know what the answer is to that? No. They cannot walk together unless they are agreed. So everybody, we need to pick our friends wisely. Do you know that largely, in some cases, we are known by our friends? Do you know that your reputation will be somewhat determined by the friends you make and that you keep? That's just how it happens in life. And you're not going to beat the Bible truth on this. There are God's people who just literally have it in their mind that they can circumvent Bible truth. You'll never circumvent Bible truth, ever. It's impossible. Won't happen. Okay? So that's just the Bible truth. Now, we know some things about Gaius and his choice of friends from this one verse at the close of this third letter that John wrote to his friend Gaius. First of all, I want you to notice that Gaius and John had the same friends. Look at verse number 14 there. Look at the next to last sentence. John says, "Our friends salute thee." Our. So obviously there were some people, you know, who came to visit John as he was writing to Gaius, and I can imagine the conversation going something like this: "Brother John, are you writing a letter?" "Yes, I'm writing a letter." Of course, it was under the inspiration of God. "And who are you writing the letter to?" "Well, I'm writing to Gaius." "Oh, I know Gaius. Hey, please tell Gaius hello for me." And John says, "Okay, I'll do that." So God gives John the words at the close of verse number 14 to say, "Our friends salute thee." So John and Gaius shared mutual friends. Now listen, Gaius was the younger one. John is the older man. Gaius is the younger man. Gaius was very wise to make the same friends as his mentor. John's friends were the kind that helped John stay on the right path, that helped John follow Christ until the end of his life. If they were that kind of friends, they were those kind of friends to John, they'd be those kind of friends to Gaius. They shared mutual friends. You know, I don't believe John would have chosen any friends that were not followers of Christ. Now, history says that John was the mentor for both Polycarp and Ignatius. And Polycarp pastored, I think it was the church at Smyrna in the book of Revelation. They were taught by John and were close to him, serving with him in churches. Could it be that Gaius was also a friend of Polycarp and Ignatius as well? Maybe even Polycarp or Ignatius was one of the ones that was writing as John spoke the words of the letter that God gave him. Now, we don't know any of that from the text, but we do know that John's friends were also Gaius's friends. Now listen, folks, because of communication, modern means of communication and transportation and all that we enjoy today, you and I know a lot more people than John and Gaius knew in the first century. They were limited to a more confined geographical location. No modern means of communication, no modern means of transportation. So their knowledge of people, their knowing people for the possibility of having friends was much more limited than mine and yours are today. And the number of people who are friends of all of us in this room is quite large. I mean, you just start on one side of the auditorium, take all of Brother Allen's friends and then all of George's friends and all of Jake's friends and all of Larry's friends, and you keep going across the auditorium, get over here to Brent's friends and Connor's friends and Ward's friend, go all the way to the back and up the stairs, and you start talking about all the friends of all of us in the room here. That's a large number of people, isn't it? A large number of people. A large number of people, for the most part, are most of your friends similar in belief and behavior to your spiritual leaders. Your influencers. Are most of your friends, they may not know your spiritual leaders, but are they in belief and behavior at least similar to your spiritual mentors? Does your circle of friends overlap with the circle of those who are your influences when it comes to spiritual matters? So stand, Brother Allen, Brother Mike, stand up here if you would. And so we got Brother Allen here. You can stand right there. In fact, slide over to the edge here, okay? So Brother Allen, he's a likable guy, got a good personality. You got to get on that side of the platform, Brother Bragg. And Brother Allen has a circle of friends, okay? A large circle of friends. And hey, he has a good friends and everything. And so does Brother Bragg. Bragg's got a good personality, got a good, you know, he's got a large circle of friends. And it would probably be wise if some of Brother Bragg's circle overlapped with some of Brother Allen's circle and had similar friends. That's what John did. John's circle of friends overlapped. Excuse me, Gaius's circle of friends overlapped with John's. Our friends. He didn't say my friends. Our friends. Salute thee. Thank you. Y'all can be seated. Folks, look, if it does, that's a pretty good sign that you're making wise choices with friendships. Now look, it's not that the people who influence you spiritually, they're not God. But are you under the influence of the spiritual leader by the will of God? Now, if you're under the influence of a spiritual leader by God's will, then you better be careful that his circle of friends and your circle of friends, if they don't ever overlap. I hope y'all are listening tonight. That's dangerous. This is more than a teenage principle. This is an any age principle. Adults sometimes have the idea that the friends deal is only for teenagers, but I want to tell you something. It works for all people, and you would be wise to be best friends with those who are friends or of the same belief and same behavior as your spiritual leader's friends are. I'm talking about salvation. About salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. It is through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with baptism, nothing to do with the Hail Marys, nothing to do with a church roster. It comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and paid the sin debt for every person in the world. Does your circle of best friends include people who believe that? Who believe that? He said, well, you know, I'm not talking about acquaintances. I'm talking about best friends. Because friends are influencers. Well, no. Friends are influencers. That's what friends are. They're influencers. And you got somebody who is, you know, best friends and their belief about salvation from hell is the same as yours, all based on Bible truth. That's a good influence. Same thing about the Bible. Same thing about other things in the Christian life. And it's more than just a teenage thing. It's an any age thing. So Gaius and John had the same friends. I'm talking about close friends. The people you rub shoulders with. People you may eat with once in a while, okay? I've got some acquaintances. I've got some friends in the community who don't believe in salvation by grace through faith, but they're not my close friends. I'm acquaintances with some preachers who don't believe what I believe the Bible teaches. I'm not best friends with those teachers, those preachers. I'm not ugly to them. I'm not mean to them, but I'm not best friends with them. I got to be careful. John said to his disciple, our friends salute thee. John and Gaius shared in some way, the same circle of friends. Number two, I want you to see that Gaius's friends were in the church. Gaius's friends were in the church. Look at the last sentence of the entire letter here. Greet the friends by name. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that specific? Thank you, Jeff. I tell you what, folks. I have been all alone up here today. I don't know what is the matter with this congregation today, but it is about as dead as it has been. Maybe Missions Conference just sapped you. Okay, I don't know, but I'm telling you, I'm up here by myself working hard. I'm trying to make it interesting, and I got about three people. Yeah. Are y'all okay out there? If you're done, I'll close it up. We'll go home. I'll like get a tomato sandwich, okay, and we'll be done. I'd like to finish the sermon, but if you're ready to go, I'll just shut her down now. No takers? Preach on? Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. I mean, if it's that boring, God help me. I don't know what in the world. All right. It has been a long week. I was in church from Saturday to Friday night, every night for 7 days. And I'm not complaining. I had a good time. Okay. So I'm a little weary too. So you're sitting down. I'm standing up. You're working. I'm working. You're sitting there. So what did Brother King keep saying? Work with me. Work with me, okay? Work with me. I'm not going to put you up here in front of everybody like he did. But yeah, he had. Okay, so where are we? Okay. Lord, help me. I don't know if it's my end. I need help. Okay. If it's on me, it's my fault. All right. Greet the friends by name. Now, John is writing to Gaius. You say, well, he's writing the letter to a man. You said Gaius' friends were in the church. He's writing the letter to a man. Yes, he is. But look at verse 6. Look at, you know, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. So church is mentioned in verse 6, the church. Look at verse 9. I wrote unto the church. Look at verse number 10. Casteth them out of the church. So, yes, John is writing to a man, Gaius. But where is Gaius? Gaius is a member of the church. And he says, greet the friends by name. Where do you suppose those friends were? Oh, that's speculation. Not much. Not much. Not much. Now, we play it safe when our closest friends are in church. There's something about the fellowship that's in the gospel ministry. It is unique and special, and so is the relationship between those who are members of the same church. Who are your best friends? Where are your best friends? I'm not talking about family. I'm not talking about grandparents and cousins and aunts and uncles. I'm talking about friends. Friends. Where are your best friends? Now, let's just deal with the big question. Should we just jump right into the middle of it? I mean, it's been a rough Sunday preaching for some reason. Everybody's just kind of sitting there. So let's just jump into the big question. Should I be friends with people who leave the church? Well, folks, listen carefully. There is a big difference in being friendly and being best friends. Big difference. Okay? I'm to be friendly as far as being kind and nice to all people. That's biblical. There's no points in heaven for being nasty. Now, some of God's people think there are. They think the longer their face is, the more spiritual they are. They got faith, you know, what do they say? Face long enough to eat oats out of a gas tank. And they think you know, being a fundamentalist is well, I shouldn't say that. So I read something one time and I thought, that's pretty true, but it'd be hard to say from the pulpit. So I guess I won't. I'm thinking. Well, you got three syllables, fun, then you got that one, then you got mental. And some fundamentalists get the idea that being spiritual is putting the emphasis on the middle syllable, condemning everybody. And folks, there's no spirituality in that. None. Zero, zip, none. So as far as being kind and nice, I'm supposed to be that to all people. I'm friendly to most people who have left Faith Baptist over the years. And any fundamental Baptist church, Bible preaching is going to have people leave. It's never enjoyable. Who was I talking to this week? In 33 plus years, thank God here, thank God, 33 plus years here, we've never had a church split. But we've had some splinters. And people get unhappy, and if they get unhappy enough, they leave. And you say, well, don't you try to keep them? Not too hard. Not that I hate them, but I can't make them happy. So find a place where you can be happy. Good night, man. I'm nice to all of them. I see them in the stores, some of them. There's only about one person that I wouldn't speak to. Y'all figure that out. Okay, y'all been here for a while. You can, and that's probably on me, but I'm human. I can't make a perfect grade every time. So if I see a certain person on one end of the store, I'm going to the other end. Even if it puts me in the underwear section, I'm going to the other end of the store. Well, at least you're with me now. I don't know, man. I tell you what. But listen, I am not intimate friends with people who have a bone to pick with Faith Baptist. I'm supposed to pick my close friends wisely, and people who don't care for the church I love, that just doesn't work. I don't hate them. I don't hate them. I'm just like, hey, how you doing, man? Good. Talk. Yeah, I could use names, but I will not. A brother here in the church and I were talking about a family who left upset with what was preached here. And you say, I think I know who it is. You don't have any idea who it is. So quit thinking. And they left the church, and this man in the church, still here, he and his family were good friends and did some things together with this family that left the church. This is while they were still attending here. This is the man that I didn't pull this out of the brother. He just told me this story. On those outings, things began to be said that were negative about the church. Once, and then again, he said, the man here, he said, I told my wife, we're done going out to eat and running around with those folks. Was that hatred? Was that ugly? And that man's still friendly to the brother that left. I don't think the brother's unsaved. He just got twisted. I don't know. That happens, folks. It happens. But that was very wise. And I want to tell you something else. That's hard to do. Listen carefully. Truth divides. Jesus did not say, I come to bring peace. He said, I brought a sword. Jesus is a point of division. Now, someday there will be peace. But he didn't come to bring human peace when the world first came, with each other, when he first came. He'll come, the Prince of Peace will come, and there will be peace. Okay? But that was a wise position to take, even though it was not easy. It was a wise thing to do because, hey, like it or lump it, friends are influencers. Friends are influencers. Talk, and somebody you like. And so when you see people that leave the church, speak to them, talk to them. Ask them about their family, their job, their house. Look, people always like talking about their children. It's a conversation starter every time. And I listen to people, you know, but you got to be careful about being close. Greet the friends by name. And he's writing to a man who is a member of a church, and he had written the church, where were Gaius' friends? They were in the church. Greet him by name. You know, I not the highest IQ. There's a lot of men here that I listen to talk, and they are a lot smarter than I am. And I mean that. I mean smart. I think of some of you men in the career and the vocation God put you in, and what you know about your work, it amazes me. It's amazing. I think we have tremendous men in this church, smart men. I'm not a wise IQ guy. But you don't have to be a high IQ to just observe. and listen. And I listen to people who get miffed or less than happy about the church and what they say and the words they use, and I'm thinking, I've heard that before. I heard the same reasons, the same words being used to describe their displeasure, that family's displeasure, that man's, that woman's displeasure when they left unhappy. And then I find out there's a friendship there. And I understand it. There's an association, a companionship. And this is what I hear. They have never said a bad word about church. No, maybe not. But I want to tell you something. There is a spirit that speaks louder than words. Right. On Tuesday morning here, Brother King, he mentioned that well-used example of teenagers going to camp. And you could put 1,000 teenagers, bring them together from all parts of the country to a camp for 4 days. And in 24 hours, teens with the same spirit have identified each other. They may not have spent 5 minutes talking to each other, but there's an identification there. And it comes from the Spirit. He talked about it. And we all get that about teenagers. Well, the same is true for adults. Water finds its own level. Birds of a feather flock together. Those are more than cute sayings, people. They are truth. And in the realm of humanity, there is a spirit present with people that is not present in water and birds. You understand what I'm saying? There's a spirit. There's a spirit in man. There's a spirit in humans. Spirits that are alike are attracted to each other. And evidently, Gaius and his friends in the church were of the same spirit. You know what Aristotle said? Aristotle said, a friend is a single soul dwelling in two bodies. I don't know if Aristotle was saved. Probably not. But he didn't get that. He got that pretty good. A friend is a single soul dwelling in two bodies. Now look, I understand having some friends outside the church. I get that, okay? I got friends outside this church, in this community. But my best friends are sitting in these pews. And my best friends in ministry are men who believe like I believe. We have the same spirit. Amen. Gaius, his and John's friends were in the church. Usually those friends are the ones who know us best. We can fool some friends that we only see occasionally a couple of times a year, but it's hard to fool the people we rub shoulders with on a weekly basis. Hard to fool. So how do I know if my close friends are good for me? Well, let me ask you a question. Do your close friends, do they push you nearer to God? Or do you come away from them feeling less happy about your Bible, your church, your belief? Someone said, in so much as anyone pushes you nearer to God, he or she is your friend. I have some friends with whom I have a good time. I have some friends who push me nearer to God. Those friends may not be the friends that I like to be around the most because I like to be around the ones that I have a good time with. But those friends that push me nearer to God, they are the best friends for Terry Angel. Does that make sense? So John and Gaius shared friends, and Gaius's friends were in the church, and then I'm going to be done. Number three, what do I know about Gaius and friends? I know Gaius was friendly. Well, wait a minute, it doesn't say that in the scripture. The very fact that Gaius had mutual friends with John and that Gaius had friends in the church tells us that Gaius was a friendly man, because scripture says in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, you're not going to circumvent the Bible on that either. The person who has friends is the one who doesn't wait on others to show themselves friendly to him. Okay? If I have friends, I'm not waiting on you to show yourself friendly to me. If I have friends, I show myself, I'm busy showing myself friendly to you. Does that make sense? That's what the scripture says. A man that had friends must show him. See, some people don't have any friends because they're waiting on everybody else to be a friend to me. That's not how you get friends. You get friends by being friendly to people. And people who show themselves friendly, you can say whatever you want to say. Say whatever you want to say. Throw all the reasons, the excuses, and everything you can come up with out on the table. But what are you going to do about that Bible verse? And that's what happens in churches sometimes. People sit around and wait for people to be a friend to them. You're not going to have friends that way. I've been here for a few years. I've seen the same scenario play out over and over again. People come in at the last minute. They never seek out anyone to talk to. And they leave at the first minute, never making lasting friends. And they usually leave saying, no one's friendly at that church. Others come in several minutes early. They seek out people to talk to. And they leave several minutes after the service ends because they're talking to others. And they usually leave saying, everybody was friendly in that church. So people, look, oh, I just don't have any friends. You're waiting on people to befriend you. Get out and make some friends. Talk to people. Just join a conversation. Who are your friends? Who are your friends? Does your circle of friends and your spiritual leader's circle of friends, do those circles overlap and include some of the same people? Are your best friends in the church of which you are a member? Are you friendly? Are you friendly? Friends, and by the way, you say, well, this doesn't play a big part in it. Gaius was doing better spiritually than he was physically. Because John said, I sure wish your physical health would catch up with your spiritual health. So you're going to tell me that friends don't play a part in that? They do. My friends do. They play a part in my spiritual health, and your friends play a part in your spiritual health. Bottom line, you'd be wise to be very careful, thoughtful of friends. Friends. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight learn from the passage of Scripture that we went through. And Lord, what is in it for me? What's in it for me? Where do I need to be a better friend? How can I be a better friend? And dear Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. It's amazing to me sometimes we read these verses and then we read them the next time and boom, there it is. Help us to be careful about our choice of friends, please. Help us to be careful about that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder tonight if the Spirit of God spoke to you at all. Maybe you go home and ponder this a little bit tonight. Go home and ponder it for a while. Look at the Scripture. See what it teaches. See what it says. Read it. See what it says. Think about it. Pastor, somewhere throughout the message, the Spirit of God kind of pricked my heart a little bit. I want to be real careful about my friends. I'm not supposed to be ugly to people, but I want to be careful about my close, best friends. If that's you tonight, God spoke to you. Let me see your hand in the air acknowledging that before God, okay? If you're here tonight, you're not sure that you're saved. You're born again. You're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. The altar is open for you to come and trust Christ as your Savior. Or to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we have the invitation song being played. You obey the Lord tonight. You do what He said. You be mindful to the Spirit of God. Friends, who are your friends? Who are your friends? Who are your friends? Do your friends push you closer to God? That's a good thing to ask yourself. Do my friends push me closer to God? They make me enjoy church more, think highly of the Bible. How do your friends influence you? It's not just a teenage thing. It's an adult thing. It's an every person thing. And I just did what I know the Spirit of God wanted me to preach on tonight from last Sunday's morning message. Friends. Friends. Who's your friend? Amnon had a friend, but so did David and so did Jonathan. They were each other's friends, and that friendship resulted in both of those men being closer to the Lord. So it is for us.